Beautiful Sunday around the Bay Area today, and down in L.A. it is gorgeous. Woe sent me a nice text picture of Dodger Stadium. Looks like a nice day down there as well as these two teams wrap up the four-game series and the seven games. Dodgers lead these series 4-2, and the Giants lead this series down in L.A. 2-1 with a shot to win it today. How about that? Joining us is Paul White, of course, a wonderful national baseball writer, and Paul goes through the season with us, and Memorial Day is coming up. That means Paul White is going to be with us to talk some baseball. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty.
Good. Glad to have you as always. Our first marker of the season comes up tomorrow. Things are starting to separate a little bit in the National League, and, of course, you're back east, and we always rely on you to sort of bring us up to date on the National League East. DeGrom does pitch tonight. The Braves lost Ozuna, not only to a finger injury, some fractured fingers, but he's got a domestic violence case going now. The Nats lose a doubleheader. The Phillies won't tell anyone who's hurt. You've got craziness going on in the East.
And I think we're going to have craziness all summer because for all those reasons and a lot more, it doesn't seem like anybody's going to be able to separate. You know, you kind of wait for that team that starts to show, okay, it's just a matter of time, you know? I mean, you know, people, like in the West, people kind of think, have been saying for 2 months, oh, well, the Dodgers will separate. Well, I think the Giants and the Padres are proving that may not be the case. And in the East, it's even more jumbled. You know, The Mets have to have DeGrom. And even if they do, do they have enough offense to maintain? The Braves, you know, the Ozuna thing is huge. Probably even more important to the Braves is this week they find out Mike Soroka's not coming back at all this year. That was sort of their hope, you know. We'll get our guy come riding in on the white horse about midseason, and that'll make a huge difference. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, the Nats don't know what they have. Robles has been in and out of the lineup. Strasburg is up and down. You never know when he's going to have something wrong physically. Their bullpen, good some days, horrible other days. And the Phillies look like one of those teams that's going to implode on itself sooner or later. You know, Girardi is mad at everybody. And, you know, Joe should know better. You don't mess around with the Philadelphia media. They will be absolutely unfair if they think you're giving them a hard time. It'll just get uglier.
Well, Paul White with us, of course, talking National League Baseball, National League East. Fill the fans in a little bit on Girardi, because it goes back to being honest with the media, and then he's sort of clamming up now. What's going on with him?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Joe's a really good manager. And if you could sit down and talk baseball with Joe, he's just a fascinating guy. He's smart. He knows the game. But for some reason, over the last, I don't know, handful of years, Joe's personality has kind of changed. He's lost patience, I think, with everybody and everything. The only incident Joe had had early in his career, you remember when he lost the job managing the Marlins, he basically, Jeffrey Loria, the owner at the time, used to sit down near the dugout, and he'd give Joe some advice. And Joe basically said, Mr. Owner, would you just shut up? You know, leave me alone. Well, that didn't work, you know, and Joe was out. But he got the Yankee job. And the criticism of Girardi when he left the Yankees was that he had stopped communicating with his players. He has kind of put himself above it. And if you remember, the magic with the Yankees, with all the big money guys and all the big ego guys they have, Joe Torre lasted for years because he talked to those guys. And those guys felt like Joe cared about them. And, you know, Girardi seemed to lose that. And that was the criticism. And Brian Cashman heard that and felt that, and that's why Girardi was out with the Yankees. And now it's almost like the same thing again. It's like, don't tell me what to do, media. Don't tell me what to do, front office. I'm going to do it my way, and this is the wrong market for that.
Boy, interesting. You know, the one team we left out kind of is my dark horse, and that's the Marlins. I think they have the makings of a tremendous pitching rotation. Tremendous. This Rogers is doing great for them, the lefty. And their bullpen is adequate. It's better than you think. They just don't score a lot. And we've seen a lot of them against the West here. But I think as the summer goes on, maybe the Marlins have something special. If Sanchez comes back and the rest of them, they could go into a 3-4 game series and just shut you down.
Right, and then you got Sanchez is a piece. I love Pablo Lopez in that rotation. Underrated, really good young pitcher. And another guy they've got coming back shortly, he's on a rehab now, is Eliezer Hernandez, who only had one start before he got hurt. And this was a kid that last year in the second half was lights out. Second half of the short season, part of the reason why the Marlins snuck into the playoffs. And, you know, I think we talked about this earlier in the season. The only reason I was last year they made the playoffs in the 60-game season, and I felt like they would have been exposed over 162. Eventually, they wouldn't have been able to keep up because they were so young, and they didn't score a lot of runs. Well, they didn't have to play those extra 100 games, and they made the playoffs. If this division stays the way it is and nobody can play better than, you know, an 84, 85-win pace, well, of course they can hang in there. And suddenly you find yourself in August, and it's a 50-game season again, and here are the Marlins. And if that pitching staff is healthy at that point, you're right. I mean, they can steal it.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. There is separation happening. I mean, we've got Arizona losing 13 in a row. Oh. Colorado has lost 5 in a row. Cincinnati is 10-15 in May. The Pirates just snapped a losing streak because they got the Rockies in there. The Mets have won 4 straight. St. Louis has won 4 straight. The Cubs 6 straight. Milwaukee 3 straight. We know what's going on in the West. So what's your overall picture of the National League right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing we learned this weekend is who really is the worst team in the league. I mean, the Rockies got shut out twice by Pittsburgh in a doubleheader. That's impossible, you know. but they did. So I think we know which of those are the worst team. You're right. The separation. There's a couple of teams that disappoint me. I think Cincinnati's been a disappointment. I think they need to shake things up somehow, some way. But they could be a very interesting team if they decide they're selling. You know, we keep hearing about the Cubs. I think the Cubs are playing well enough to hang in there. You know, Cincinnati, you got Nick Castellanos, you got Eugenio Suarez. I mean, those are some guys that can really make an impact in the trade market. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. The other team, you're right, Arizona. I mean, I didn't think Arizona was going to be a contender, but that's just hugely disappointing the way they're playing. It's the same thing. If you watch them, it's listless. It's like the Reds and the Diamondbacks are teams that look like they expect to lose. You know, look like, oh, how are we going to mess this one up? You know, what's going to happen in the seventh inning or the eighth inning tonight? And you just get that feel watching them. And, you know, that's when you start to see changes, whether it's a manager, whether it's a big trade. But they've got to shake things up because it's going to be a long, long year in both those places.
Why? Bill, you want to jump in here with Paul? Bill? Bill there?
I think I'm
Bill's.
Here.
Are you there, Bill?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. If you want to jump in with Paul, please do.
Yeah, you know, Paul, you're talking about some of these last-place teams. Do you see any manager changes? Do you think they'll get rid of some of these guys and maybe make a move to a younger manager to try to revitalize them?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. You know, that's the point, I think, with both Cincinnati and Arizona. I mean, you know, Cincinnati went with David Bell, and it's a guy who's got a history with the organization and the whole family. You know, I don't know that he's necessarily done anything wrong. I'm not close enough to that team or the Diamondbacks to have a feel what's going on in that clubhouse. But those are just both places where, like I said, you know, you get that bad, bad vibe that it's, you know, everybody's showing up every day that not expecting to win. And, you know, if you're management, somewhere in here, you got to send a message to fans. I think this is a weird year with management dealing with fans because you're just now getting your fans back in the ballpark. And it might be a short honeymoon. Hey, we get to go to the ball game. Great, we're going to show up. But very quickly, people are going to say, oh, but these guys are 20 games out, and they're not very good. They're not very fun to watch. And, you know, the people running these ball clubs need some cash. They need some revenue. And it, I think that the lack of interest from fans, if it shows up that way, is going to be more significant this year than in a lot of years. So, yeah, I could see some teams, even if they're panic moves, just say, we got to do something to get fans' attention and say, hey, we're really trying here.
Well, I think Colorado's in that boat. For Buddy Black, I hate to say it.
I do, too.
That seems like the hand.
You know what? It might be, I mean, as much as we all love Buddy, it might be best thing for Buddy to get out of there because that's not going to get better anytime soon.
Now, in Arizona, they've got so many injuries, and Lovello's got a good relationship. He's the opposite of Girardi. They love him there, so I think the injuries, he'll get a pass on that. And
you can also with the front office, you know, the front office made some mistakes there. I mean, you know, they put too much stock in Bumgarner. As much as we love all of Mad Bum, you know, you're kind of like, wait a minute, what are they doing at this point in his career? You know, that was a statement, but it wasn't a real smart statement, really, from a baseball standpoint and a spend your money standpoint. So a little bit of that goes out of the front office in Arizona.
What do you think of American League East? The White Sox, for me, have got a nice hold on the Central. The A's in Houston and Seattle, believe it or not, Seattle's getting better. They're starting to win games here, and Texas is losing everything. So, but I still see A's Houston really in the West. What about the East? Can you go top to bottom, throw the Orioles out? I think anyone can win it, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, here's Tampa Bay. We all thought this was the year that, you know, oh, well, you know, they sort of retool every couple of years, and they don't bottom out, but they slip a little bit, and this looked like that year in Tampa Bay. But again, the rest of the division is letting them in. I mean, Boston was a little bit of a mirage at the start of the year. I don't think their starting pitching is solid enough for them to pull away. They can contend with that starting pitching. Unless Chris Sale shows up in the second half as the old Chris Sale, I think they're going to struggle to pitch well enough. But they've got a lot of offense, and they had that great start, so that helps them. The Yankees are another kind of dysfunctional team. A lot of injuries. You know, there's still a feeling around the Yankees. Hey, we're the Yankees, and we've got all these guys. We'll be fine. Well, I'm not buying that. They need Luis Severino in the second half, and it looks like they'll get him. So that'll be huge. That'll be a big boost for that pitching staff because Gerrit Cole's been as advertised. The other guys have been up and down. Tyon's been a little bit of a disappointment. If they get Severino back and full tilt for the second half, that's big. But they've got to keep their offense healthy, and it's not. You know, Sanchez hits a home run once or twice a week but does nothing else. He's a horrible catcher, so that's a problem for them. Try to keep Stanton and Judge in the lineup. That's hard for them. So, again, the situation where they're letting everybody else stay in it, and if they do, you've got Tampa Bay, who will take advantage of every opening. They'll do everything fundamentally. They'll pitch well. The bullpen will be good, and they'll very much like the Giants, they'll use 15 guys on the offense in and out, matching them up, and they'll make it work. And meanwhile, Toronto, I still don't know if they can pitch well enough, but boy, are they going to be fun to watch the rest of the way. They just score runs, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the real deal. He might be the best junior in baseball over Tatis. And you know, when they've got all their guys out there, they're going to score a ton of runs, and they're going to start playing in Buffalo now. And if you remember last year, that was a hitter's ballpark in the games they played there, and I think that's going to be a big difference for them. I just don't know if they can pitch. They need Steven Matz and Robbie Ray to be really, really good. They brought up Alec Manoah, was fabulous in his first start. If he's the real deal, then they are the sleeper in that division.
Well, they're my dark horse pick. The Marlins and Toronto, if you get the crazy odds, those are my two teams that can do something. Bill, you want to wrap it up with Paul?
Yeah, just real quick, Paul. Is Toronto going to be always in Buffalo now? Is there any chance of them going to Canada, even though COVID-19 is kind of opening up? Is there any discussion on that?
Yes, there is. It's really in the hands of the Ontario provincial government when they – right now there are quarantine restrictions coming in and out of the country. I mean, I live near the border, and we just can't go to Canada because you basically have to quarantine for a week when you cross the border. Well, you can't do that with baseball. There was some talk this week from the provincial government in Ontario that they're getting ready to start backing off because they've got up to a 50% vaccination rate in Ontario. So the deal with Buffalo is they play in Buffalo until further notice, but the minute they get an all clear from the Canadian government, they're in Toronto again. So, yes, they could very well be back there. They're hoping to be back there.
Well, boy, great report, Paul, as always. Memorial Day coming up. It's always great to check in with you. We'll do it each month or so. So enjoy the day, and remember, Blue Jays and Marlins in the World Series. And there, I think he drove off the road. He must have driven off the road when I said that.
That was a good finish there, Marty.
Yeah. And thank you. Goodbye as I drive off the road. We need the little, you know, I want to tell you something. The Wag Hotel commercial, the dog sounds so nice. I told Raph, can we get the dog to give us some sound bites? That would have been perfect for the dog to just bark a couple of times.
Marty, I got two of them right here. If you really want me to get them barking, I can get them.
I like the Wag Hotel one, the little dog.
The Wag Hotel, yeah. Well, Raph still wants me to get my dogs on that commercial, so sooner or later you might hear Oliver and Olivia barking for you.
All right. Well, the lineup is out. Kerry, I assume, is ready to go, so we'll take a break, come back with Kerry, Bill, and I, and get you ready for Giants baseball right here on the Sports Leader.